everyone. Welcome to episode 4 of Marketer Pitch, the news and trends podcast from a Vantage Black and Brown perspective. I'm Yesenia Reynoso, one half of the co-hosting team. And to my opposite end is the other half of the squad, co-host and friend, Corey Davis.
Sound like a baseball announcer. Hi, everyone. How's it going? Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. And hope you did too, Yesenia.
Yes, I hope. I'm glad you asked that, Corey. Thank you so much. I know this Thanksgiving has been unexpected, on certain accounts. And thank you for that baseball reference again. As everyone knows that I am a major baseball fan. It's yes. In my blood, and we'll talk about it at another time.
Yeah, and I actually will say you're calling us a squad now, so we're like the podcast version of the squad in the House of Representatives. So I like that. We're the squad.
I am practicing around with different types of wording, for these intros. So please, let us know what are your thoughts about this, via email at marketerpitch@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. But I think I'm zeroing in on, on the perfect wordings. I'm a perfectionist. What can you do? It's in my blood.
No, it's perfect. I love it. Continue with the alliterations and the wording. I love it.
Once I zeroed in on something, it's going to be kept for real. And it appears that I am, in fact, zeroing. I kind of like this intro, to be honest.
Same.
All right, Corey. Do you realize where we are now? We're in December, 3 weeks ago before that.
I can't believe it.
I think everyone wants to get there at this point. 2 week break. Here we come.
Can you believe we've been, well, like I said, I'm in California. You're in New Jersey. So if any listeners who are in other states, I would say not quarantine friendly states, they can't agree, but can you believe we've probably been air quote quarantined for coming up on 9 months? Like, who would have thought back in March that we would still be doing this in December?
And it's unfathomable, to see as to how the year has, really transpired, but I think, we all have, a certain amount of thoughts, a lot of self-reflections, and now yes. we now got through that first holiday bridge, Thanksgiving, good sneak peek. Now the real countdown begins. Speaking of Thanksgiving, how was yours, my friend?
You know what? My Thanksgiving actually was pretty good. So just because of everyone knows and COVID-19, the cases are skyrocketing. Unfortunately, the deaths are also skyrocketing. So I did the smart, sensible thing. I'm not from California. My family's all on the East Coast, and I stayed home. I think I mentioned it on the last podcast. That was my plan, but and I actually did do that. I stayed home. I did a non-traditional Thanksgiving. So instead of turkey, I had chicken wings. Instead of ham, I had meatballs. Instead of mashed potatoes, I had French fries. So I actually did do a non-traditional Thanksgiving. And you know what? I'm quite happy about it. It was probably one of the most relaxing, stress-free Thanksgivings I've had in a while. Didn't have to deal with family drama. Didn't have to deal with awkward conversation. Didn't have to deal with getting dressed up to go to a big dinner. Didn't have to deal with hours of prep work. This Thanksgiving in 2020, in a strange year, to me turned out to be an actual good one. How about yourself? I know last podcast you mentioned this great food that you and your family normally have. So I was salivating on, I said these wings, I wish I was having what you're having, but please tell me you had all of that great spread that you mentioned last podcast.
My recap is in one word, quiet. We had good food. And yes, Corey, I am very pleased to say that we did, in fact, had arroz con pollo and pernil. Thank you to both of those foods because they were beyond delicious. Even the leftovers the next day were 10 times better than what it was on Thanksgiving Day. And of course, the usual quiet quality time with the family is all you can ask for at this point. Thanksgiving then transitions on into Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I actually did hit the mall this past Saturday. We all know that particular day was Small Business Saturday, the mm-hmm. importance to support and buy products for small businesses. Given the circumstances, this year was more important than ever. Did you buy on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, Corey?
You know what? I actually did venture out to the stores on Black Friday. I'll say unfortunately because I had no plans. I'm not a Black Friday shopper on a non-pandemic year. I tend to avoid crowds. To me, if I can only afford something on Black Friday, then my opinion, I can't afford it, period. So I try not to go out on Black Friday. I actually did go out this Black Friday, not because it was Black Friday. It's because I'm actually moving. I'm moving places next month, and I have to start just getting everything prepared. So I went to IKEA to buy a couple of items, and then I had to go to Lowe's and a couple of home improvement stores. And surprisingly, here in the Los Angeles area, the roads are actually really good. I pretty much got up and down town within 15 minutes. On a normal time, on a normal Friday afternoon, that 15-minute drive would take me double, 30 minutes. But the crowds weren't that bad by me on Black Friday, surprisingly, which is a good thing. People had actually heeded the warning, stayed home, didn't go out and shopping. And I think we're starting to see news reports. I think CNBC had an article about that Black Friday shopping is probably pretty much at one of its lowest levels ever. So, yeah, I did venture out and didn't get the crowds, but I got exactly what I needed. How about you?
Well, I started buying my Christmas presents on Cyber Monday. Great deals. The shopping will continue as we get closer to the holidays. Anything with good deals will capture my attention. Also, I typically was one of those Black Friday fanatics that would go to the malls to get the best of the discounts. I don't do that anymore. I prefer, doing my shopping online since the deals are much better, and as well as, the shipping options. But we will be diving into this subject momentarily, so stay tuned. Before we start the show, I want to give our audience a sneak peek on our two upcoming episodes. As we zero in on the end of the year, we're going to be looking back at the top/best moments of 2020 and then look ahead towards 2021, giving our predictions for what's going to happen in our respective industries. Corey, I think this is going to be a great discussion. Lots of topics to choose from.
Yes, and it's best moments of 2020. I'm pretty sure it's going to be one or two.
get those lists ready, everyone.
If you look at the best moments of 2020, I think the list will be very short, but
this is going to be fun. So if you want to join in on the conversation, email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. also, our podcast is available at various podcasting mediums. Like, share, comment, and subscribe. Okay, let's dive into episode 4. We got double the headlines on the news of the headlines of the week, as well as sports and communications post-COVID in the ad chat and bulletin board segments. Now, before we slide into this week's news headline of the week, I wanted to follow up on a story segment we did in episode 3. Warner Brothers announced the highly anticipated sequel, Wonder Woman 1984, to debut in theaters and HBO Max. Yesterday, a seismic shift in Hollywood, as Warner Brothers announced their entire 2021 movie slate will premiere simultaneously in theaters and HBO Max on their respective release dates. Movies include The Matrix 4, Dune, Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights, The Sopranos prequel, The Many Saints of Newark, and The Suicide Squad. This shocking move to simultaneously release movies underscores the crisis facing movie theaters and the rising importance of the streaming services in the wake of this global health crisis, which has decimated the film industry. Corey, this is a total game changer of epic proportions. A quick reaction.
Yes, I was really shocked that Warner Brothers announced this. I know last episode we definitely announced Wonder Woman 4, and I thought that would be an outlier. I didn't think that would be a trend, but the fact that Warner Brothers is actually doing this for their entire slate for 2021, which are these are big blockbusters: Matrix 4, Suicide Squad, The Sopranos prequel, huge blockbusters. So the fact that they're doing this, to me, it's a game changer. And I really do feel sorry for the theaters. I know that Warner Brothers did announce in the articles in the trade saying that this will be very temporary. They have no plans of doing this beyond 2021. They want to go back to full theaters in 2022 and beyond. But as a consumer and as being in the industry, I can't see them going back to ever not doing this, not having HBO Max releases on the same time they have in theater releases, because HBO Max is a streaming platform. And if HBO Max get millions upon millions of subscribers and streamers in 2021 because of their plan to release films early, what would happen to those same subscribers in 2022 if HBO Max still goes back to full theaters. They will leave the platform, thus making HBO Max not as lucrative. I'm thinking that because of they're going to get a lot of subscribers and who are, and people and consumers who will want this, HBO is going to continue and Warner Brothers to doing this, which is really going to hurt the movie theaters. And now you're going to look at other big chains. Universal, who's owned by Comcast. They have Peacock. They may start doing that too. You have Disney Plus. Disney Plus have already done that with Mulan this year. But next year, maybe Disney Plus may try out a Marvel movie on their platform. There's other, all of the other big movie studios, they have their own streaming platforms. And I'm definitely think that this is going to be the new normal. You're going to start getting the big releases straight to streaming and theaters. And the benefits of going to a theater is going to diminish, which is going to kill a lot of jobs, unfortunately.
Corey, you took the words right out of my mouth, my friend. To quickly wrap this up, I saw Variety senior film and media reporter Brent Liang tweeted yesterday, the day cinema died, when the news came out. We mentioned how all of this is going to affect cinema, exhibition, and streaming industries. Now we really are going to see those effects. Don't think for a second that other movie studios, as you mentioned, Universal, Disney, Paramount, among others, are going to let this slip away. No. This opens the floodgates and expect them to follow suit. And also, we're about to find out as to how quickly the cinema and exhibition industries are going to adapt to these changes. They got to come up with something fast. So keep an eye on this, folks.
Yes. And just really quickly, I'm actually curious because Warner Brothers, they are planning to announce that they are going to have the in-theater release at the same time as HBO Max. Just for your own personal reason, in a post-vaccine COVID world, we all have the vaccine. It's safe to go into crowds. If The Matrix 4 comes out on HBO Max the same day as in theaters, which one would you lean towards? I'm just curious.
Man, post-COVID, I would as I reiterated last week, I still don't feel comfortable going into a movie theater. I will probably watch it on the streaming services. Yes, I will miss the movie-going experience, but obviously my health and safety come first. And if they're giving me an option where I can access the movie the day that it comes out at the comfort of my home through a streaming service that I have disposable, I'm going to take advantage of that.
Even after a vaccine?
Again, I think it's going to depend on the movie personally. If it's a movie that I view, that I want to experience it via the movie theater, then I'm definitely going to do that. If not, then probably I'll be watching it from the comfort of my home. I think it's going to be by a case-by-case basis from a movie standpoint.
I have the same opinion. I probably now go to the theaters. Excuse me, not now. Before COVID, went to theaters maybe about once a month. So let's say 12 times a year. I definitely think if this becomes a new normal across all movie productions and movie studios, I'm thinking my going 12 times a year will probably half that. I probably only go 6 times a year and only go for the big ones. And for like the ones that are so-so, I think I'll make a night at home and watch it on the streaming platform.
Well, with that, we wrap one headline and move on to the second news headline of the week. Cyber Monday becomes the biggest online shopping day in U.S. history, topping nearly $11 billion in sales. According to NBC News, Cyber Monday just became the biggest online shopping day in U.S. history, with consumers spending $10.8 billion online. In addition, around 7 in 10 shoppers said it was more important to support small businesses than to get the best deal. Corey, thoughts?
Yes, this is not surprising to me. Like I was mentioning a little earlier in the show, when I was out on Black Friday, the crowds are extremely light. So I'd imagine, just like what you said for Cyber Monday, that the crowds who would normally go out on Black Friday stayed at home, which is great, protected themselves from the virus, and shopped online. So I'm definitely not shocked that Cyber Monday was the biggest shopping day. I think that as the years move on, we're going to start seeing less and less Black Friday importance and more Cyber Monday driving the retail holiday. Cyber Monday really will become the new Black Friday. And when I say that, if you people are not familiar, Black Friday, the term came from, was the day that a lot of businesses and stores went into the black. They actually started making a revenue for the year. So I definitely think Black Friday is not going to be the Black Friday. Cyber Monday will become the new Black Friday, where a lot of retailers will make their money for the year on that day.
With how 2020 shaped out the way it did, we had a feeling that many people were already planning on making purchases online. The question was how much profit was going to come out of this. Interesting data to point out, Corey. Around 37% of total purchases coming from smartphones as more shoppers migrated to buying on social media or other online platforms. And curbside pickup was up 30% since last year. The discounts contributed to the surge of sales since it started a week ago prior to Black Friday. We saw retailers getting a head start on the Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday sales since they were not getting their numbers. Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, and Small Business Saturday did very well overall. They totaled in $5.1 billion, $9 billion, and $4.7 billion respectively. And of course, earlier in the show, I mentioned how this particular Small Business Saturday was of greater importance due to the COVID-19 pandemic impact. Early indications show that small businesses got a much needed major revenue boost.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I'm actually curious to see if the spending for this holiday season, even online, is going to be greater than last year. A lot of people this year have lost jobs. Unfortunately, the unemployment level is higher. Just people are just don't have the money as they do. So I'm still shocked that spending was high on Cyber Monday. And I'm wondering if consumers feel confident enough to continue to spend for the holidays, or will people kind of hold back their money and not spend as much. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the retail industry over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
And that point right there ends our double news headlines of the week segment. Want to chime in? Email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. Next up, we got Corey's ad chat, where he talks about a topic that generated buzz in the advertising industry. Corey, take it away.
Yes. And thank you. And thank you, everyone, for just listening to my ad chat. So my ad chat for this week, the first week of December, is about advertising in sports, particularly around the NFL. So this week, breaking news came out. According to Marketing Dive, CBS, who is broadcasting the 2021 Super Bowl in Tampa, Florida, announced that they are 80% sold out of Super Bowl advertising inventory. Let me repeat that. They are 80% sold out of their Super Bowl advertising industry inventory. This comes as a little bit of a shock, as everyone assumed the advertising in the Super Bowl will be down due to COVID-19's impact on the league, as well as the decreased media spending overall from advertisers. With around 80% of ads sold, that only leaves around 8 to 10 30-second spots for CBS to sell. And historically, those 8 to 10 spots are very hard to sell. So this is on par with the sellout rates of the 2020 Super Bowl and even higher for the 2019 Super Bowl, which shows that the coronavirus so far has had no major impact on spending in the Super Bowl. I'm very surprised to hear this, since as we know, the NFL has had a difficult season managing COVID-19. Unlike the NBA, who had a disease-proof bubble to operate under, the NFL has had to deal with dozens of players contracting the virus each week, which meant last-minute cancellation of games and swapping games from a different week. Last week, the marquee Thanksgiving night football game of the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens had to be moved, which cost the NFL money in advertising revenue and sent NBC scrambling who's going to broadcast that game to find content to air while also working to give make goods for the advertisers that were slated to run during the game. On top of the uncertainty of us even having a Super Bowl due to COVID-19, brands will also have to grapple with what tone to set in their creative. In the years past, the tone of the Super Bowl commercials tend to be upbeat, light, funny. Brands that got us all talking the next day usually featured a celebrity engaged in some kind of hijinks. With COVID-19 killing close to 300,000 Americans thus far, the unemployment rate being up, and millions of Americans facing eviction, one has to wonder if any of these brands has to come off as tone deaf if they can create an upbeat, funny spot that does not match the mood of the country. Additionally, it's reported that CBS is asking close to $6 million plus for a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl. For the businesses that were challenged in 2020 due to COVID-19, spending that kind of money can create a huge backlash if they had a massive layoffs throughout their company. While being in the advertising industry, I'm very happy that brands are still spending and recognizing the importance of advertising on TV and across the digital platforms. I just think it will be good for brands to take a pause and really ask if advertising the Super Bowl is worth the investment and possible backlash that they may receive from consumers. Yesenia, I want to get your thoughts. With everything going on in the world, are you, one, surprised that so many brands are already clamoring to be in the Super Bowl? And two, do you actually think if you were a retailer and advertiser, it's actually worth the investment to advertise in the Super Bowl in 2021?
First and foremost, I'm a sports geek, so seeing something sports related brings me joy. Hopefully, we touch on more sports news. Second, is the NFL even going to make it to the big game? The league is currently experiencing a strong COVID-19 outbreak that's causing havoc on the season. Many players and staff had been affected and games constantly being pushed back. Here's the tidbit. The league had months to prepare for this and should have set a concrete plan in place. They were the last league to get their season underway this year. They saw what the other sports leagues have done and they could have adopted a similar strategy but didn't. This conversation can be done for another day. Back to the main point. To hear CBS now sold their entire ad inventory tells you right there the uncertainty brands have in broadcasting for the Super Bowl. If they do decide to go for it, what kind of advertisement is it going to be? Is it joyful, serious? Also, the financial commitment. Do brands want to spend hundreds of dollars on a 30-second spot that may not be as big of an impact than in years past? The COVID-19 pandemic has put a cloud on all this. I understand marketers holding off from making a commitment until there is a clearer picture of when the big game will be played, if it will be.
Agree. And then you look at companies, and I'm just throwing this as an example, a company like Burger King, who may have taken a PPE loan earlier this year to protect their workers, it'll be kind of, like I said, tone deaf to see Burger King spending $6 million on the Super Bowl when they maybe have took $15 million in PPE loan. So I think a lot of brands are on the cusp of getting backlash if people start looking at how are you having money to spend on this game once 30-second spot in the Super Bowl, but you didn't have enough money to pay your employee and you laid them off. So it's a kind of a duality that a lot of brands have to go back and forth. And I also do want to mention that in the article, CBS is actually preparing because of, like you said, the NFL has done a terrible job of managing COVID-19. Right now, the Super Bowl is in the last week of January. I believe it's January 28th. CBS is prepared in the NFL to move the Super Bowl to February 28th, a whole month later, in preparation if the COVID-19 continues to ravage the league. If they do this, brands who may have to create a creative for the Super Bowl may have to completely do a new ad because it's going to be a month later. So it's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of issues facing the NFL and CBS. And I'm just still shocked that they're 80% sold out. To me, that's a mind-blowing number. And this shows that there's two realities in the world. There's the consumers who are dealing with COVID-19, dealing with debt, dealing with unemployment, dealing with, like I said, facing eviction. And then there's the industry who is business as usual. Checks are still being cashed. Money is still flowing. And they're still doing everything they've done in years past.
Well, I'll close it up with this. If the Super Bowl gets postponed, which is still very much a real possibility, it does give brands the time to decide which direction they want to take. Brands such as AB, InBev, Mars, Wrigley, and WeatherTech have officially gave their yeses, but there are other brands who still haven't decided or even backed off altogether of participating in this year's Super Bowl. It's also going to be very interesting to see as to how the NFL shifts their branding and marketing strategy from broadcast to digital, since many people are moving towards streaming services. And with that brings the end to Corey's ad chat. Thanks, Corey, for an awesome topic. Have something to say about it? Email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Corey, final thoughts?
Yes, I'm actually just going to say that. I want to hear your thoughts, whether you agree with me or not. So definitely email us and I'll respond.
Fabulous. All right. We transition on to my PR bulletin board, where I discuss a particular particular PR theme, that captured my attention. So this week, Reagan PR Daily posted a feature about how corporate communications came into the spotlight during the COVID-19 pandemic and the chances of it staying there. It was a year of pure disruption where engagement from both internal and external avenues have risen dramatically. The question now, does it slip away or does it stay for good? In episode 3, I centered the conversation around crisis communication, which also came into light during the pandemic. Crisis communication is an umbrella of corporate communications, so I figured, why not talk about it? Corporate communications became cool again. It's been on the rise for the last several years. As PR Vogue Media stated in the article, it is painfully clear that the agencies that are surviving best amid this year's chaos are those that bring industry-leading expertise in such areas as corporate reputation, crisis counsel, public affairs, and employee engagement. Right? I mean, corporate communications is the practice of developing, cultivating, and maintaining a corporate identity or brand image. COVID-19 produced an unexpected opportunity for companies to focus on corporate communications in a meaningful way. Someone had to reassure the employees. Someone had to come up with a plan to address COVID-19. Someone had to expedite the info to the media in real time. And someone had to explain the new operational protocols to staff, partners, and stakeholders. See? The resurgence. However, as we soon enter into the post-COVID-19 world, is corporate communications here to stay for good, or is it a one-time musical note, as I reiterated earlier? Depending on the budget and other marketing and PR needs, maybe. I think it's here to stay. Let me explain. Organizations cannot go back to the normal. They now have to think about their reputations and image, be transparent with employees and customers, build credibility and establish expertise in the industry, minimize the damage to the brand's overall reputation, and prevent miscommunication. There now has to be a plan in place for employees to address these situations. It's pivotal. Corey, companies can no longer run away from this. If COVID-19 taught us anything, it's organizations and clients now have to put corporate communications in the limelight to influence internal and external audiences. Do you agree?
Yes. And for me, I think corporate communications is not necessarily are not only important, for dealing with crisis like the pandemic of COVID-19, but also we saw with the activism going on in 2020 with the Black Lives Matter protests over the killing of George Floyd and just the uprising that we had this past summer. Brands' responses to me mattered so much. I bring up Starbucks. Starbucks, who had plenty of issues in the past. I think last year they were in a crisis because they had employees who were preventing people from loitering in their stores and calling the police on them. This year, I think there were a couple of employees who got in trouble for wearing Black Lives Matter pin, and Starbucks deemed it initially to be political. Then they changed their stance after a backlash. So I definitely think as we move forward to in 2022 and 2021 and beyond, that brands need to create corporate communications not only for to dealing with crises, but also to dealing with communications with their employees. Employees who are facing backlash, they will go out to their social media pages and then they will respond. And brands have to react to that. And I definitely think it's time for brands to actually step up and to actually own these things, get ahead of these things, instead of reacting to these things.
As a communications professional, I've worked in corporate communications departments to understand how important it is to be able to deliver clear, concise messaging from an internal and external perspective. It's not one audience. It's now about all audiences. Corporate communications focuses on three main areas: image, reputation, and identity. To obtain these results, corporate communications strategy development must come from these subdivisions, aka the web, as I like to call it. Public relations, social media, investor relations, internal communications, crisis communications, marketing, corporate identity, and advertising. Corey, is there anything else you would like to add?
No. I definitely just want to add that these brands need to keep corporate communications and the staff members on their staff and on their ledger. I say that because a lot of times their brands are looking to cut costs and The first thing to go is corporate communications, because they feel like, oh, we don't need that. We only need it if something big bad happens. No, this is definitely as important as having a finance person on your team. Definitely for these brands listening, please keep your corporate communication positions, because you will be better off in the long run.
The real game now begins as an industry, because now we have a chance to completely redefine corporate communications for the better. Do we take advantage? We'll see. And with that, I put a bow on my PR bulletin board. What are your thoughts? We'll love to hear them. email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. And with that, my friend, that officially wraps up episode 4 of Marketer Pitch. What a show, my friend. Final thoughts.
No, I definitely just thank everyone for listening. And as we enter the holiday season, I hope everyone continues to be safe, healthy, and continue to mask up.
Yes, absolutely, my friend. Thanks so much to everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to access Marketer Pitch on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other podcasting mediums. Like, share, comment, or subscribe to the podcast. Also, please email your opinions at marketerpitch@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time for episode 5. Take care. Bye.
Bye, everyone.